Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
They're Boston's number one afternoon show.
Most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
And I just came here to help you rate.
Sorry, John. Thank you. Don't need it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, I think, you know, these first round-robin games or whatever they were, you know, you just kind of try to shake the rust off and get your team game in a place kind of you want it to be. I think we've kind of improved over these three games. Obviously, we need to work, or we work very hard for our goals. You know, we just seem not to get rewarded, but I'm sure that's going to come if you just keep plugging away. But I think, you know, it doesn't matter what seed you're in, because you're going to beat every team anyways if you want to advance. So I think, you know, we're going to feel good. So it's over now and start real hockey.
So there's Tuukka Rask again, accurately embodying the attitude of the Boston Bruins since they got to Toronto, which is round robin games, whatever they are. Marchand called them preseason games today. Doesn't matter. Have to play everybody. It's over now. Now we start real hockey. That's been their attitude from the second they got there in Toronto, and they've done nothing but suck. I can already hear you making a noise, Murray.
Yeah, I was annoyed reading it. The tonality really, really chaps my ass. Who the hell are you, and what the hell has this team done to have that kind of attitude?
Right.
Oh, you're the President's Trophy winner. Ooh, wee. Yeah, because that usually benefits a team so much. What was the last to do it? You mentioned it earlier, right? The Blackhawks, like seven or eight years ago. But yeah. Beyond that, the thing's an effing curse. There's a reason why you start typing it in Google, and the first thing that pops up is President's Trophy curse. So what is this coming from? Because he had a really good regular season. They looked like a buzzsaw. I understand why they were the Vegas prohibitive favorite to win the cup before the shutdown and even coming back. But just based on how they've looked in the bubble, including the exhibition game against the Columbus Blue Jackets, who I thought looked pretty damn good in their series against Toronto, what gives them who the hell are they to have this kind of attitude with the way that they're playing? That really, and him of all people, too. Not that the way that they've played has really been on him. It's mostly the top line I'm mostly annoyed at, and really them as a whole. But give me a break with that. Well, you know, we sucked for the last week. Sorry to disappoint everybody, but now the real games begin. Oh, good luck with that.
I'm telling you, they're playing with fire. They better at least win this first round, if not more, or else they're going to look like a bunch of jackasses, Maz.
Oh, totally. Look, again, if you're going to approach it the way they're approaching it, and for the sake of argument, let's just take their word for it for a minute. I'm not sure it's as deliberate as they are claiming, especially when the coach says, yeah, well, we want to win the games. But even so, you know, I think they were trying to give some effort. Oh, then you better come out and turn it on. You better come out and turn it on. You better look like a completely different team on Tuesday night when they drop the puck. Because you're going against a team that didn't lose, right? So now it's like they're coming at it from total opposite ends. Now, Carolina had to play for its life because they lose, they're done, they go home. But even so,
they annihilated the Rangers in that series, though.
Like, I mean, like, I just look at the whole thing and say, okay, here you go. You got a young team looking for revenge that looks hungry. And you got an old team that's acting like it has nothing to prove, playing like dog food.
It's a dangerous game to play. And that's why, I mean, game one is so important. So even if they feel that confident, they lose game one. Now, oh, wait a minute.
Well, yeah, right.
Now doubt starts to seep in. Oh, maybe we weren't as good as we thought. And all of a sudden, like, it's you're trending even further downward than you look right now. Oh, God. They got some balls acting like this. They really do. Because they've looked like the worst team on the ice in the bubble so far.
I just don't get why they cared so much about the regular season before it. Like, and they did. They didn't sit there in the regular season and say these games mean nothing and they're just, you know, glorified preseason, which they really are when you're a top team. You're just playing for seeding, which, again, really. So, but they gave a rat's ass in the regular season on a nightly basis. They almost never let down in the regular season. Almost never. Then they get three games away from the playoffs where you are going to play deep playoff teams and you do set some sort of tone and they go, meh, these games don't matter. Look, where did that come from? And again, they're going to look like a bunch of clowns if they don't turn around and show well in this first round at least, Maz.
I know what I would do if I were Cassidy. I'd show him game seven against the Blues. That's what I do. You guys remember? You know why you go so good during the regular season? You know why? Because you were motivated. Because you were pissed off by this. So I'll tell you what. No popcorn. No soda. Sit your ass down. And for the next 2.5 hours, this is what you have to watch. I want you to watch every freaking second of this game to see if you can get that back. Because tomorrow night you're playing Carolina. That's what I would do to them. I would force them to watch it.
One real quick note here. We'll do it as the DN Van Lines move around the league. If you've been laid off or are looking for a change, DN Van Lines is now hiring. Make up to $18 an hour plus tips and benefits. DNVanLines.com/careers. DN Van Lines, the official mover of Felger. The DN Van Lines moves around the league will be the two deadline pickups by the Bruins, Kashe and Richie. Both are going to be important guys. Kashe, you already saw it, I thought. I was pleasantly surprised with how much I noticed him yesterday, actually, with Krejci, which is desperately needed. So, you know, again, total jackassery by this guy during the pandemic, coming back late and then chasing tail or playing ball hockey in Charlestown or whatever the F he was doing. You know, he's the last one back, but okay, now he's back. And he actually sort of showed up, and he's desperately needed. And a guy I don't have much hope for, but Richie, you know, they give him to Coyle. Coyle sets him up, and they've got this great, you know, scoring chance. I can't remember what period it is, but Richie's pounding away at a, you know, like on the
he's
side
chopping down a tree.
You know what I mean? Like literally hacking away at the side of the net. No shot, but Richie, I don't have much faith in. But Kashe is going to be an important guy, Maz.
Okay, so look, I liked Kashe too. He's the more skilled of the two, right? Like, even on the DeBrusk goal, if you know, he kind of chipped the puck ahead and was able to get the puck to DeBrusk so he could take the shot and score. And even before that, he was trying to make kind of a nifty little saucer pass between the defenseman's legs. Like, I thought it was a good little play. I thought he looked pretty good. And I'll tell you, since he's come back, I'm not talking about the production. I just think stuff happens when Richie's on the ice. That's all. I feel like he's involved.
Well, they need size.
Yeah, and he's a presence. So I like him out there. That play yesterday was really
a freaking hack.
Oh God! So he was trying to catch a butterfly. Like he's flailing away. Like I don't know if he's going to score, but I do feel like he's a factor when he's on the ice.
He'll be there. He'll plant his big ass in front of the net. You know, I mean, he'll put him. I can't promise what he's going to do when he gets there. But anyway, all right, back to your phones. There's your Bruins reset. Johnny in Maine. Tuukka Rask. Go ahead, Johnny.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to focus on, I think, Tuukka Rask has been playing okay, but, you know, the first line isn't scoring any goals, and so it's not really his fault, and defense isn't playing that good. So I just wanted to see what you guys think about that.
Yeah, of those, my biggest concern is defense. So the first line has gone 15 games where they've only scored two even-strength goals. So, like, it's the first line's in a playoffs for 15 playoff games, I should say. And I'm including these little preliminary games. They didn't score a goal in the prelims. They had one assist combined in the prelims. So they're, you know, they have to produce. But I think they will. And I think, you know, I think Rask is going to be good until we get to game seven of the series that matters and then get back to me. And, I think he's one of your strengths. If we're just being fair about it, of the things he mentioned to me, the number one issue is their D. Chara looks painful. Carlo, you mentioned earlier, hasn't been all that much better. Who'd they swap out? They put Clifton back in last game for Lozon. So I don't know if they're even set there on that third pair. To me, the defense has been the scariest part of it all, Maz.
Oh, totally. I mean, to me, that's been the number one issue. And that was in the Flyer game. And then who did they play in the next one? The next one was Tampa. They couldn't. The area in front of Rask, just way too much space there. I mean, the D was horrible. So I got to believe that they'll tighten that one up. Because, again, historically, that is one of their strengths. It's their ability to really sort of button it down and back check and play defense and all of that. So I hope they can tighten that up. But if they don't have that, forget it. Well, they're done.
Unless, I mean, you can tighten it up, sure, theoretically. But unless the rest has actually, you know, been detrimental to someone like Chara, who looks like he's glacial out there. Same for McAvoy. The blue line, it looks like a disaster. That and the top line. Again, it's 1 point in three games. You're just looking at these three little prelims like, it's a mess.
We got Jay and Lawrence. Your thoughts on the bees?
Yeah, Mike, they look horrible. I mean, they're going to be the worst passing team in the whole league. I've never seen so many passes missed by 3 or 4 feet or no-look passes from behind their own net out in front of their own goal. And their defense is just, it is, it's horrible. The fundamentals are terrible. I don't think Bruce Cassidy's getting enough thrown towards him because they're not ready.
Well, he will. They're definitely not ready. And that's, if it's partly by design, if it's partly by his design, then that's going to come back on him. You bet him and the whole veteran leadership, you know, which I consider the strength of this team. I consider Cassidy a strength of the team. You know, I think he's a good coach. And I think their veteran leadership, Bergeron, Chara, all the way down, is, you know, a real strength, I think. But if they all got together, put Neely on whoever made the decision to piss and moan about the round robin format and losing the potentially being able to lose that first overall seed and then get there and say these games don't matter. Whoever came up with that decision, and if they play like ass in this first round, they will deserve to be criticized. On the flip side, if they come out balls to the wall and are healthy and have more energy because they pace themselves, then we have to turn around and give them credit. I mean, which we'll grudgingly do. But if it goes the other way, it's on them, those decision makers.
Oh, for sure. They set the tone from the very beginning. There's no two ways about it. Like, it all comes from them. It's whatever emphasis that they put on it, the players are going to follow. There's no question it's on them.
Max in, it's Matt in Sudbury on the Bees. Hi, Matt.
Hey, guys. First time, long time. Murray, you hit the nail on the head. Who the hell are these guys to think they can just roll the pucks out and do whatever the hell they want? From Tuukka saying that he didn't skate at all during the break, to Marchmont saying that he's like, you know, this is just a preseason, to Kasha and Pasternak dinking around in the North End. It's like there's a collective lack of urgency. I'm 21 years old. The last 15 years I've seen this team be one of the, you know, a good B+, A- team, but they never were able to break through unless they got Tim Thomas to stand on his head to win him a cup. And over the last, 50 years, they won one cup. I feel like it's just like, who the hell are you to come out and say, oh, it's going to be fine. The President's Trophy winners. Yeah, but it's been 4 months since happened. You're an old team.
You guys have got it. Who the hell are you? Who the hell are you?
Like, if Belichick wanted to have that attitude, the 80s Oilers, 90s Penguins, like, you know, you're a wagon. I get it. You want to be cocky, have at it. You've puked away your last two cups. What have you done? You've mostly been a massive disappointment, especially that guy. Oh, the balls. You know, now the real hockey starts. Yeah, bring him on. Whoever it is. We're ready for him. Huh?
Why? I'll just say it again. Why did the loss to St. Louis in Game 7 sting and matter so much before the apocalypse? But then when they come back, it's like, they don't have that motivation anymore? As you said, Maz, does Cassidy need to remind them of what happened in that game and remind them the opportunity that they lost?
I mean, that's what I would do. I'd show them that one again, in fact. And then if they still look a little sort of unconvinced, then show them game five.
I'd show them all the other teams in the bubble. Guess what? They've led at other points in their games. You've never led. They're faster than you. They seem like they care. You don't need to show them game seven of last year and how they blew it. No. Now the real hockey starts, guys. Talk to me. Talk to me Tuesday night. Don't worry about it.
I mean, it is amazing, though, that, like, they do it. Someone's like, oh, you mean we got to play these? Like, and on top of it, it is, it's a, maybe the best stat of the whole thing. They haven't even had a lead.
No.
They have not even had a lead.
If you don't care to win, why do you care to lead?
Exactly.
Like, what's the diff? On the other side of the coin, we're a little down on the Bees. I don't know if you can tell. I think people are riding high on the Celts. Is it justified? We'll get to that after these words.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go on the Sports Hub app.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
Now, by and large, we don't remember the last segment.
Felger and Mass.
I mean, I don't remember what I said last segment. I don't remember what I said 60 seconds ago.
Felger and Mass.
You don't remember who we are or what we said last week. Yeah, but Felger, I'm the highlight of your show.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Stanley Johnson is going to take a shot because why not? He'll knock down a three that will give us the final margin. The Raptors score 31 points in the final 6 minutes of garbage time to get us a very misleading final. But the Celtics, if they wanted to make a statement, they made one. They blow out the Toronto Raptors tonight and hand them their first loss since March the 1st. The final score, Boston 122, Toronto 100.
All right, the Celtics, big win on Friday night. Let's reset some of our Celtics thoughts. Why don't we do it with the email of the day from our chief green teamer, Luke in Vermont. Wrote me a good email. I want your thoughts on it. Stand by. Stand by while I scroll down and retrieve said email. Sorry. Stand by. Stand by. Felger, says Luke in Vermont. Murray, maybe you could translate.
Felger, I'm sending you the email. It's been a while since we talked.
Luke in Vermont says, not overly excited about any of the wins this weekend. Would have liked to see Toronto play well and the Celtics beat them at their best rather than rolling over them. Murray?
Would rather they play just at their best and that Toronto actually gave them a fight and we could learn a little bit more about them.
But
there is some things that we could take out of the game that were good.
We love Luke. But he does sound like Spicoli. Yeah. He says, nothing has changed for me since pretty much day one of the season. The Celtics are at their best collectively when Tatum, Hayward, and Brown are all playing their best individually. All three must play like all-stars. The offense should run through Hayward. He is the team's best facilitator, and when he plays aggressive, he should score a minimum of 20 points a game. Tatum should be the go-to guy scoring close to 30 a game. Brown should average over 20 and help Smart lock up the other team's best guards and wings. Your thoughts, should the offense run through Hayward?
So I would say I like the idea of Hayward as a facilitator. I do. But my concern with Hayward is that he plays his best against bad teams. Now, look, again, in the and maybe this is a strength for him in this case, but against the Toronto in the Toronto game, he only took 7 shots. Now, again, maybe that's a good thing because someone ultimately has to defer if you've got all these guys on the floor and there's got to be someone who's not greedy about having the ball all the time. So I do think Hayward sees the floor really well. He usually makes the right pass, all of that. But in terms of output, his best games were in the bubble now, were Orlando, Portland, and Brooklyn. And so I do think there's something to be said for when they play weaker competition, Hayward's better. And when they play better competition, he's not quite as athletic as he was before the injury.
And I don't have the phone screener up in front of me where I sit, but I don't know if he's on the line. But I'd love to hear from Dakota because I know he's been on this for a while. And he broke down the splits before the bubble against good and bad teams for Gordon Hayward. And he said that there's a marked difference. And in fact, I have it in front of me, what he had against the top 6 teams in the East and West, Hayward in 18 games. The field goal percentage was 43 compared to all the other games at 56%. And his three-point percentage is down to 33% against those top 6 teams in both conferences compared to 42. Like, and just eyeball test alone, he's good against the bad teams.
So Dakota called Beadle this afternoon, so we won't get him again. But he was on the same point that it's how'd Hayward play? Who's the opponent? You know, like, yeah. check the opponent. So I can see the dubious nature of it. How about, you know, and then he says, at this point, I have Smart and Tice equal, if not ahead of Kemba Walker, on my pecking order list. The top 6 guys have always been set in stone. So, you know, he's saying the key is, you know, getting Kemba Walker out of there almost. Do you believe that, Maz?
So, no, I'm not going that far because I think that Walker, when he's out there and playing well, gives them some things that they don't necessarily have. You know, the quick shot off the dribbles, probably something that he does, you know, at least more quickly than anybody else. He can get his shot off fast. He can do it really fast. And so if he's the third or fourth guy offensively, it's a nice option to have because if you go cold up top, you do need someone else that can pick up the scoring. But I'll say this, if Smart's playing well, and, you know, you've got Hayward, Brown, and Tatum on the floor, and Hayward's iffy, okay? So, again, if to me, how deep they go is going to be largely dependent on Hayward. I don't know. If you're in a really tight game, do you want Walker on the floor at the end?
Yes.
I don't know.
Why?
Because I worry about him on the defensive end.
Yeah. And in that case, like, and I can't believe I'm saying this, but it's actually come to fruition. Like, Marcus Smart's kind of evolved into a legitimate 3-point threat.
Oh, don't.
I know, and Jones is going to come in here and punch me. But especially in crunch time, like, you know he has a knack for it. He does.
You know what, Maz? Fair enough. I should have answered my own. You're right. I mean, can you just swap out Smart and Walker depending on what side of the floor you're in?
I would do that. Sure. Absolutely. I would do something like that. Now, again, I'll take Walker over Tice, depending. I know you got to have a big man on the floor, but Walker's a better player than Tice. Okay. I understand different positions. It's not apples to apples. But on the defensive end, oh, please. I don't want him out there in a real tight game.
Luke says, I totally understand why you guys were mocking Robert Williams in the middle of last week, but it's almost like Danny or Brad heard the chatter and made the decision it was time to cut him loose. You want to translate that, Murray?
They heard the show, they're P1s, and they just put it into blah, you guys. But I can understand why they would play him, because he looks like he's pretty good.
I do think he could be a difference maker for this club because he obviously provides something the team is lacking. I love the idea of him sharing minutes with Tice instead of Cantor. Cantor is a regular season player, not a postseason guy, in my opinion. Again, Time Lord or Cantor, Maz?
Depends on which end of the floor.
Yeah. Like,
so again, the one thing, now look, Cantor's limited, but I do think at least Cantor, for the most part, tries on defense. He just sucks. Like, there's sort of a caveat there. But, you know, if they can get Williams to focus, I just feel like Williams is lazy. He's lazy and he isn't, you know, he's not in the right place a lot of the time. So there are plays that he should have an impact on defensively that sometimes he doesn't because he's not in the right place. And so, again, try to focus on him when he's on the floor on the defensive end. Watch where he stands, whether he's moving, is he following the ball, any of that, or is he just stand there? And a lot of times it looks to me like he is just standing there.
Okay, thanks to Luke for our Celtics reset, 617-779-0985. Paul in Maine on the Seas. Hi, Paul.
Yeah, hey guys. Since the reset of the NBA season, Jaylen Brown has been an absolute joy to watch. Right now he's playing with an aggression that seriously highlights his athleticism. This team's perimeter defense can be outstanding, and right now Gordon Hayward is facilitating like Felger on steroids. So my question is, do you think these guys can actually be a legitimate title contender this year?
Yes, 100%. They are. Maz, contender? Are they a title contender?
So again, I differ with you on the word contender.
Oh, God.
Look, could they be in the East Final? Yeah, they could. If that makes them a contender, then so be it.
You don't give them a chance, neutral site, no fans against the Clippers or the Lakers? Or the Bucks?
No. I think they lose. When you say give them a chance, six?
Right.
Maybe.
Well, that's a contender. Yeah. You give them a chance.
Yeah, but they're not winning the series.
You got Tatum and Brown playing at that high of a level, then yes, they are. They're a legitimate contender.
And when Paul says that, you know, they could be excellent defense on the perimeter, I'd like to see it. I'd like to see it. Half the time, they're half-assing it out there on the perimeter. At least they did in these games. Some of these games on the perimeter, they've been awful. They need to. Yesterday, they weren't good on the perimeter against Orlando, and I know the game didn't mean anything to them. So, again, I know it's when they want to play, but yesterday, they did it again. The perimeter defense sucked.
Yeah, but it sucks everywhere. The only yeah, but is there's no defense being played down there. That's a commonality across the league. The scores are through the roof, Maz. And Gasper had an interesting thought. He said either they just, you know, they're all just getting back into shape, or that's where the rust is showing, or they don't want to man up on each other because of COVID. Which I'm like, oh, that's it. I never thought of that. Like, I'm not getting too close to you. So I don't know if that's right or not, but the scores have been high, Maz. And, you know, everyone's playing crappy defense.
I know, but again, I think with them, from time to time, there is sort of this, you know, the offense leads to defense kind of thing. And so it's something I would keep an eye on because they can get exploited on the perimeter. We know they can get exploited inside. If they don't play defense on the perimeter, they're porked.
Evan in Braintree with a quick PGA thought for Maz. Go ahead, Evan. Evan.
Evan!
Okay, all right. Well, on that note, we'll go to an update. I know Maz does have a few PGA thoughts. We'll get to them in good time. Coming back next, we'll reset what's going on in college football, which basically, long story short, there may not be college football. We'll get to that. Murray has the latest right here in the update, and then we come back and discuss.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
This is Bob Soucy. The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon. As a runner myself representing the Flutie Foundation at the 2022 Boston Marathon, I'm proud to have been a teammate to many amazing Adaptive Program runners, achieving their dreams at the greatest race in the world. The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
You can listen to Felger and Maz on your phone with the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
Frankly, it's what we deserve. We're a nation of idiots.
Felger and Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, real quick before we go back to the phones at 617-779-0985. Couple open lines if you want to grab them. Big Jim, what's the latest on college football there? Did the Big Ten bang it or not?
No. So Pete Thamel, excuse me, of Yahoo Sports, tweeted just a couple of hours ago that he got a text from a Big Ten spokesman that said, no vote has been held by our presidents and chancellors, so the Big Ten watch continues. There's nothing official in terms of that conference, you know, banging it for the season.
Okay. So I just, you know, just reading the headlines, I guess Dan Patrick had said earlier, there's 14 teams and the vote was 12-2 to bail on the season, and the two were Nebraska and Iowa.
Correct. Yeah, they voted to play.
And now apparently there's a report that Nebraska is prepared to play outside outside the Big Ten and go their own way. Why are you scoffing?
Yeah, so sorry to cut you off, because I know that the SEC had also said basically, look, we'll be the last man standing if need be, and we'll take any teams that will come want to join us for 2020. So maybe that's what they're having these discussions about.
So, So they'll expand the SEC just for 1 year?
Yeah.
That sort of thing?
Basically is what it sounds like.
Okay. I hope they play. I hope they push it through. I'll take whatever they want to give me. I think it's incredibly hard, though. And it does. And you mentioned it earlier just about paying the players. It just blows up the whole student-athlete thing where a lot of these schools aren't inviting students back or they're remote learning or, you know. How do you tell everyone to stay away from school but to let the football players back?
Right. And the other thing, so like a national title is no longer possible. You can have a conference champion, right? But, you know, you can't use the phrase national champion. You can't have one with entire regions of the nation missing. And I get it. It's usually Clemson and SEC anyway, but, you know, they would have to have a lot of rephrasing and rebranding as well.
Okay. So, you know, Jim Harbaugh is getting in the act as well. Jim Harbaugh says the facts, and again, I'm just reading the headlines. I'll give it to you here in 1 second. Harbaugh at Michigan, reading from ESPN.com, says that, I guess he's catching some grief because he's pushing ahead. Michigan head coach Jim Harbaugh released a statement Monday advocating for college football season to go on as planned. I'd like to address the rumors that are swirling today, Harbaugh said in the statement. I am not advocating for football this fall because of my passion or our players' desire to play, but because of the facts accumulated over the last 8 weeks since our players returned to campus on June 13. In the statement, Harbaugh makes a case for why a season could still safely go on, which includes the program having zero positive tests out of the last 353 administered, zero positive tests among the coaches and staff over the entire 8 weeks of testing, following CDC guidelines, and self-implemented stricter standards for contract tracing, and quarantining to prevent spread. He says, quote, we have developed a great prototype for how we can make this work and provide the opportunity for players to play. If you are transparent and follow the rules, this is how it can be done. What do you think, Maz?
So I think he's right that it can be done, but I also think that we're talking about college kids here. Like, Major League Baseball players can't do it. And they're, in theory, they're older and a little bit more developed. So if you're asking me, can college kids do it? My answer is no. The other thing is, now, look, you also get into a, you know, when you're talking about student-athletes, that introduces a whole different argument. But if you're asking me my confidence level on whether the NCAA can pull it off, I'd tell you it's very low.
So I just wonder, and I keep going back to this, so maybe I've missed it, but are the students back on campus or not? And it, like you just said, the Major League Baseball players can't keep it in their pants. How's a 19-year-old college kid, right? I mean, he's in college to take it out of his pants. But if there's no parties to go to, if there's no one, if the bars are closed and it's congregating, I mean, I don't know. The whole, it's, to me, people are trying to equate the college football and the NFL and, you know, put them together. To me, it's apples and oranges. It's
totally
just
different.
It's so different, right? Because of the college environment, Maz.
Totally. So again, now look, you know, you want to have them back on campus and nobody else is there. What I would tell you is a 19-year-old is going to find the party. He will find it. Now, will there be less of that in general, particularly around college campuses because the kids won't be there and the bars won't have the same kind of activity, et cetera, et cetera? Sure, I suppose that that is true. But I just think if you're not going to have, you know, if you're not going to have students on campus, how the hell can you have football players there? It doesn't make sense to me.
Okay, so can weigh in on that, can weigh in on anything that you want here as we continue on an agenda, a re-entry Monday. Re-entry Monday, everything from the weekend. Evan and Braintree's back on PGA Golf. Boy, you must really want to talk golf. Go ahead, Evan.
How we doing,
Evan?
Boy?
Good, go.
Hey, I just want to say I thought the golf was unbelievable, and I thought relative to other live sports, I think golf right now is an A+ compared to some.
Okay, let me stop you. What do you think, Maz? You're a connoisseur.
I would say that the television experience was pretty close to the real thing because, again, you don't often spend time watching the galleries. The reality, how many guys were tied at 10 under par there at one point yesterday? 8, 7, something like that. You had all these guys, and you had what, like a dozen or more within a stroke or two of the lead. And you know what conclusion I came to?
What?
Without the crowd, they don't choke as much. I do. I think the choking is related to the gallery. I do. And so this kid who won, Colin, I'm going to pronounce Miss Moriyama. Is that how you pronounce it?
I think
Marcana.
So, yeah.
Okay. So I look at him and I say, great, that shot he hit on 16, the par 4 where he drove the green, was a fabulous shot. But fake championship. Fake. First of all, it's the PGA, which is fake unto itself. Okay, the PGA championship sucks. It's the least significant of the four majors. That's number one. Number two, no fans. You put galleries there 30, 40 deep, and all of a sudden he's going to execute that shot. He might soil himself on the 16th tee. I think it's a totally different experience with galleries. I think the change in golf without fans is massive. Otherwise, they're just playing another youth tournament that nobody knows about.
Okay, but golf being golf, just another tournament where there's a couple guys you care about on the leaderboard, they don't win. And it's someone, what's his name? Can we pronounce his name?
I think it's Murayama. Yeah, Colin Murayama.
Okay, there you go.
He's like the fourth youngest guy ever to win his first PGA or something.
Sure, he'll be the next phenom, and he'll win two more, and then we'll never hear from him again. Because that's what modern golf is. Tom in Newton on the college football story. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, hey, guys. So this thing about college football possibly getting canceled, I mean, I don't think it's about coronavirus. I think it's about money. I mean, knowing what we know about the NCAA and how, you know, greedy and ruthless they are, I mean, I think they might look at this and say, look, we can't have any fans. We can't sell any tickets. We're competing with four pro teams on TV for the first time ever. Maybe they want to kick it off to the spring when maybe you can have fans and they won't be competing with anybody on TV. What do you guys think?
I think it's all about COVID. I think, you know, Barry Alvarez came out and said Wisconsin's losing $100 million if they don't play football this fall. $100 million. So whether there's competition or not, that's revenue they were going to get, and now they're not. So it's all about COVID. What do you think? They're going to make more in the spring, or they're just willfully giving that away? I think they look at, I don't know, was it one of you who mentioned liabilities before?
Yeah,
so I mean, maybe they look and say, well, whatever we're going to make in TV money or gate, our risk, our liability on lawsuits on the backside of it is so much more than that it's not worth doing it. And again, the justification of how do you not allow students back on campus, but these student athletes, the football players, are, how does that, you just can't square that away with the rest of the people who are paying tuition, or the, you know, it's just that to me is untenable. You got to let them all back or none back or what? And I just don't think there's a way around that problem. Our long commercial-free segment comes your way next. We'll reset our thoughts on Bruce Cassidy and where he has the Boston Bruins heading into the playoffs right after these words.
It's Felger and Mazz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Mazz.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
Who doesn't know Felger and Mazz?
Michael Felger, I don't know from a can of paint at all.
Felger and Mazz, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Our guys are not in a bad place, Steve. They're really not. I mean, we want to win. We want to play better. We want to preserve the number one seed. But we have a veteran group that knows what the ultimate goal is and what's at stake. So they know that, you know, come Tuesday or Wednesday, I assume we'll open one of those 2 days. You know, they know how to play playoff hockey.
Well, so that was Bruce Cassidy even before yesterday's loss to the Capitals, where the Bruins were better. But on balance, they've been a disaster there in Toronto, frankly. I mean, they have been. And
You know, I like Bruce Cassidy. I think he's done a good job since he's taken over. But if they fall on their face early in these playoffs, he and the leadership there is going to face a lot of criticism, and they're going to, and it's going to be deserved. They had a team that had just such great edge and commitment and sort of focus all season long. To then get to the pandemic, get a little bit of a bad break by the way they formatted the round robin. Just a little. Okay, it's a little bad break. But for them then to sort of piss and moan about it and then say, well, screw it. We're just going to treat this like a preseason game and sort of pretend like they can flip a switch. And then if they don't flip it, whoever decided to take that approach is going to come under a lot of criticism, and it probably starts with the head coach. And so I think there's, you know, those are the stakes for Cassidy, because I think we'll be able to look back pretty clearly and say, why did they half-ass it so bad when they showed up there in Toronto?
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, I think it even goes higher than Cassidy. I think it goes to Sweeney and maybe even Neely. Like, I don't know where Neely stands on it, but my guess is if Sweeney was signed off on it, then Neely was too. And I think that something like that feels to me like more of an organizational decision than just the coach. So, but no matter how you slice it, oh, they better come out and play well tomorrow or in this series. Like, you know, even if the, you know, they lose the first one and win the next four, like, who gives a rat's ass, right? At the end of the day, it's about the series. But you better win the first round. If you lose the first round and look like dog food in the process, oh, they're going to look really stupid.
So the Bruins caught a break here. You know, they caught a break, ironically, that it's not Pittsburgh and Sidney Crosby and that. And, you know, not saying that Carolina's chopped liver. But they should beat Carolina. If they play the way they're capable of, they're better than Carolina. Now, Carolina's better than they were last year, at the end of last year when you swept them. They're an up-and-coming team, and they're playing great hockey. They just totally dismantled the Rangers, who are up-and-coming team themselves. So, I mean, like, I'm not telling you Carolina's chopped liver, but you're better. And if you play your game, you should win. And if they don't, because they couldn't get their heads out of their asses to start this thing in Toronto, ooh, we're going to look back and say, what, as Murray said, you know, who do you think you are to take that approach? So, anyway, there's your Bruins reset. Did you enjoy it? What do you think of this Carolina series and the Hurricanes? Take your thoughts on that as well. Michael in Methuen on Bruce Cassidy. Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, I was going to say, I agree with what Matt said earlier about, hey, you want to light a fire under their asses, show them a tape of last year's Game 7 against the Blues. If you remember last year, Cassidy posted pictures in the locker room of them winning the Cup in 2011 and saying, here's the reward at the end of the rainbow. What he should have done back then is he should have posted pictures of the 17 seconds that they had against Chicago and said, here, avoid this. So showing them a tape of Game 7, I think, is a good idea. And by the way, I like the matchup against Carolina, too. They haven't played in a week. They swept their opponent. And teams in the playoffs don't usually do well after they sweep a series.
Is that true? Do we have numbers on that?
Well, I mean, if you look at it, yeah. I mean, even going back to last year, the Bruins swept Carolina, then they got knocked out by the Blues. They swept Pittsburgh, they got knocked out by the Blackhawks. I mean, so I think it's better to win a series even in six games than it is in four, because I think, you know, that continuous playing that you have actually carries into the next round, and it gives you a little bit of mental toughness.
Okay, Michael, you know, maybe that's the Bruins' problem. How does that stand for the rest of the league? I'd love to stick one of our stat nerds on it. Boston Sports Inf, Tucker, you know, Memorial Stat Call, you know, Nerd Call. What is the historical success rate of teams in the Stanley Cup playoffs after sweeping? I'd be curious to know that. Feels to me more like a Bruins problem than a problem.
This one kind of fake. I mean, it's a best of five series. Like, that's
right.
Never really happened.
Well, the other thing is, you know, if you're going to go back in time, the year the Bruins won the Cup, they swept Philly in the second round, didn't they? And then they beat Tampa in seven.
That's right.
So it's not perfect either. Like,
that guy's moving the goalposts so we can feel better about this upcoming series.
You know what, though? I will say that, you know, the idea of showing the negative tape versus the positive one, I agree with. I'm a believer in negative reinforcement. I think it's a strong motivator.
Yeah. Well, we've noticed that. The thing is that, but they've got to get their edge back. I mean, the team had great edge all season long, and they've just not given a rat's ass since they got there. Do they not give a rat's ass, or they're intentionally pacing themselves, at which point I'd say, boy, you're playing with fire. Either way, they've been unrecognizable to us down there in Toronto, and they're out of time to get it back. It starts again tomorrow night. I just like the Carolina matchup because they're goaltending and defense. Like, you know, Carolina's got good defense, and Doug Hamilton's considered a good young player and all of that. But remember how disjointed and how awful they were in their own end last year? And I don't know if they've solved that problem. I think their defense can be a little soft. And the goaltending? Peter Mrazek and who, Murray? Who's there? Do you know who their goalie is? I'll ask you again.
Take that, Reimer, you bum.
James Reimer. Didn't James Reimer get most of the games in that first-round series?
Yeah.
They both played, but I think Reimer's their starter. If I'm not mistaken, I'm not sure exactly. You know,
There was a clip that went viral in one of those games against the Rangers. He looked like Dominik Hasek. He's flailing all over the place, making some ridiculous save. I'm like, this is the same guy? What?
He will forever be known as Take That Reimer, You Bum.
Take That Reimer, You Bum.
So that's their goalie. That's their goalie. And again, I like some of the, you know, Sammy Vatanen, Jacob Slavin. There's a good, but Vatanen's undersized. Jake Gardner.
Toronto. That's Mr. Minus Five.
Exactly. That's the Leafs gag artist. So what we've got is we've got the goalie who puked all over himself against you, the defenseman who puked all over himself against you, and I don't know. Carolina's dangerous up front. In back, you should be able to exploit him down low. You should be able to.
Okay, but the problem is that to exploit a team in their own zone, you have to apply pressure. Which is something the Bruins have not done here since they went into the bubble. Apparently, they're afraid that pressure is going to make the bubble go pop. So, like, if they don't generate any sort of offensive pressure, what difference does it make?
Murray, you're worried about James Reimer?
No, the Bruins have a clear advantage in net. It's the rest of the team and their speed that I am worried about. I'm worried about the fact that they're going to be red-assed after being swept by the Bruins last year. I think that can play in a big factor. They're an up-and-coming team. I don't know. And they, unlike the Bruins, have actually tried. You know, I got to give them credit there. So I feel like that should actually factor in. But I don't know. The now toothless Bruins fans seem to think that, you know, this isn't a big deal. And they bought into this Bruce Cassidy narrative and the rest of the team's narrative. And, you know, we're just taking it easy, man. We're going to get to the real hockey and then we're going to see. But, man, talk to me after game one, because if they lose tomorrow night, then the panic better set in with you idiots, because they have not looked good, including even that exhibition game against Columbus, who clearly looks like they're better than you anyway right now. On paper, I get it, Bruins better. But every team, everyone, even the knockout ones, have looked better than the Bruins up in that effing bubble.
So there you go. That's what's at stake. And
easy thing for me to do is start off the show tonight and throwing out the question that I'm sure has been asked by just about every single sports radio show throughout the nation today.
Yeah! Woo!
There it is!
Holy, I want to swear so bad. Yeah, James. take that, Reimer, you bum.
he's still in the league, and he's going to start against you in a playoff series, Murray. And you're scared? No, that's a good. So the goaltending, you got to like. You got to like how that's shaken up. And I also think Carolina in back is susceptible. But be that the point is, if you play the way you've played, it doesn't matter who their goalie is.
Correct.
It doesn't matter who their D is. They got to get their heads out of their ass. And that's, of all the things from the weekend, that might be the lead story. Could the Bruins be on the verge of going to Toronto and completely just dropping a deuce on the ice and coming home and giving up what was one of the better regular seasons they've had and looked like a team that was poised and ready, and they're just going to piss that away because what? They got all pouty because of the reformat, you know, system, and the fact they, you know, were going to lose their number one overall seed or what? They just lost their edge somewhere along the way? That would blow. But it feels like they are on the verge of that. So there is your Bruins reset. Back to your calls on everything on Agenda Free Friday. We hit on the Celtics. We hit on college football, perhaps going bye-bye. What that means for the NFL. We circled back to some of the comments from the quarterbacks on Friday. Maz missed Friday, so we hit on Cam Newton and Stidham and some of their takes. A little bit of PGA golf. Everything. Even a little Red Sox. A little Alex Verdugo on the table. Your calls on everything at 617-779-0985. There's two open lines. Grab them, and we'll talk to you right after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials here.
Suck it. Wow. Holy. Oh, I want to. Holy. Wow. Huh?
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150. Win or lose, bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Eric Fishman, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
Woo! The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.